And now the Torah tells us that if Chas v'Shalom, if the Yidden will not learn Torah and do the mitzvahs, not only will Hashem not give us all of those special brachos, but the opposite will happen, Chas v'Shalom. Hashem will bring many punishments. And the Torah goes on to tell us, what are the different kind of punishments that Hashem is going to bring? Like sicknesses, a hunger in Eretz Yisrael, wild animals will destroy many Jews, the Yidden's enemies will come to destroy them, there will be a dever, a plague, that many Yidden will die. And then finally, the biggest punishment, that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, and the Yidden will go into Galus. But yet, Hashem promised us that even when the Yidden will be in Galus, the Shekhinah will accompany us. Hashem will be with us the entire time. And as soon as we do Teshuvah, Hashem will take us out of Galus. Hashem will remember the promise that He made with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Hashem will remember the land Eretz Yisrael. Yes, Hashem will take us out of Galus and bring us back to Yerushalayim and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Now, if we take a look in the Pasuk of the Torah when it talks about remembering the promise that Hashem made with our Avos, with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we'll see something very strange in the name Yaakov. Usually, Yaakov is spelled Yud, Ayin, Kuf, Vez. Four letters. But over here, in this Pasuk, it says, V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov. And I will remember my promise that I made with Yaakov. Take a look at the word Yaakov. There is an extra letter. Yud, Ayin, Kuf, Vav, Vez. There is an extra Vav. What does this come to teach us? So Rashi tells us that there are five places in the whole Torah that we will find Yaakov with an extra Vav. And all the other times, Yaakov is spelled without a Vav. Now, there is another great Tzaddik, Eliyahu Hanavi, whose name is always written with a Vav. Eliyahu, Aleph Lamed Yud Hey Vav. But there are five places in the entire Torah that Eliyahu's name is missing a Vav. What does this mean? Yaakov gets those extra Vavs that Eliyahu's name is missing? The answer is yes. Yaakov wanted to have a guarantee that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come and tell the good news of the Geula of the Yidden. So what did Yaakov do? He took away the letter Vav from Eliyahu's name and took it to himself. Like this, he has a guarantee that Eliyahu HaNavi will surely come and tell the good news of the Geula. And that's why, in our Pasuk, the word Yaakov has the extra Vav from Eliyahu HaNavi to tell us that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come and tell us the good news of the Geula. Now, in this Pasuk, we find another very interesting thing. The Pasuk begins with Yaakov, and then Yitzchak, and then Avraham. Why does the Torah use the order of Yaakov and then Yitzchak and then Avraham, and doesn't use the regular order of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? This is in order to tell us that Hashem is first going to use the schus, the merit of Yaakov, to take us out of Galus. And if that's not enough, then Hashem is going to add the schus, the merit of Yitzchak. And if that's not enough, then he's also going to add the schus of Avraham. And with all of them together, this will surely help that the Yidden will go out of Galus. Yes, as the Rambam tells us, Yisrael oisin teshuvah, as soon as the Yidden do teshuvah, miyad hein nigalin, they will immediately be freed from Galus and be brought to the Geula. And that is why Hashem tells us, Im b'chukosai teilechu, if you will only go in my ways, then I'll be able to give you all the brachas that I want to give you. Just learn Torah, do the mitzvahs, and then you will be blessed with all good. And do you know, who do you think has the biggest chance to learn Torah with all the strength, with all his koyach, like Hashem wants? Well, it's mainly the Yiddish Kindelach who are learning Torah in the yeshiva. They are like the Yidden who are in the Midbar. That's right. When the Yidden were in the Midbar, in the wilderness, they did not have to work at all to get any food or clothing. Everything was prepared for them by Hashem. The same thing is with Yiddish Kindelach. All Jewish children, they don't have to work for their own food and clothing. Their parents take care of it. That's right. Hashem gives their parents enough money, parnasa, in order that the children should be able to learn Torah and do mitzvahs with peace of mind. And therefore, you can understand how much you're supposed to take advantage of your special chance to be able to learn Torah without being disturbed. Well, of course, the only one who's really trying to disturb you is the Yetzirah, because he does not want Mashiach to take us out of Galus. He doesn't want the Geula. He doesn't want all the Yidden to go out of Galus and go to Eretz Yisrael and have the Beis HaMikdash. The Yetzirah wants us to stay in Galus. That's why he will disturb us from learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. But Im b'chukosai teilechu, Hashem is begging us, please study Torah. And like we learned before, shetihiyu amelim b'Torah, put all your kayach into it. And then Hashem is going to give you everything you need. V'nosati gishmeichem be'itam, I will give you your rain in the right time, and all the other blessings that we learnt about in the beginning of this parsha. And Hashem really gives us the kayach and makes it possible for us to learn Torah with all our might, in a way that Hashem should be proud of us. And not only will this be good for us, but this is going to help all the other Yidden in the whole world. Since all the Yidden are connected, so when you do something good, it's helping all the other Yidden too. This is as our Chachamim say, Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Bozeh. All of the Yidden are Arevim one for another. What does Arevim mean? It means blended and mixed up together. All the Yidden are blended and connected one with another. And that's why we're also Arevim, which means responsible one for another. Since we are all connected, we are responsible for one another. It's like the right hand is responsible for the left hand. The head is responsible for the foot. That's right, every part of our body is responsible for the other part. We are all connected, and we want to make sure that every part of our body is healthy and well. But how can we accomplish this? Well, this is by the third meaning of Arevim, which is from the word Arev, which means sweet. If you will be sweet and pleasant to your friends, you'll be nice to them and speak to them nicely, you'll be able to influence them and explain them in a way that they should understand that they should become better. And one of the best ways is, of course, by showing a good example. One example is better than 1,000 words. So by us doing our part, that's surely going to help all the other Yidden. So when you come to yeshiva, when you go to shul, and you daven good, you learn Torah good, and you do mitzvahs right, then some Yid, who may be in another part of the world, who might not be doing so many mitzvahs like you, and is maybe not learning so much Torah like you, but is doing something. So when you're going to get stronger in your Torah and mitzvahs, that's going to help that Yid too to become stronger in his fulfillment of Torah and mitzvahs. He'll start doing a little bit more. And if Chas V'Shalom, you drop down a little bit, then Chas V'Shalom, that can cause another Yid also to go down a little bit. So therefore, we have to make sure that we get stronger and stronger in Torah and mitzvahs. And then for sure, all the other Yidden who are connected to us will also become better and better. This reminds us of a story that the Friedeke Rebbe told at a Fabrengen many, many years ago. And the story goes like this. In 1910, there was a very important meeting where many great Rabbanim got together to discuss very important matters of Yiddishkeit. Most of the Rabbanim that were there stayed over at a certain hotel. They used many, many rooms of that hotel. One of the great Rabbanim was the great Gaon and Talmud Chacham, Reb Chaim Brisker. Now, the Friedeke Rebbe, one telling this story, said that he was the shamish, the helper who went around from room to room helping out the Rabbanim, seeing if they have all that they need. He also went into the room of Reb Chaim Brisker. At this point, the Rebbe praised very much the greatness of Reb Chaim. Then the Rebbe said, "One time, when I came into Reb Chaim's room to serve him some hot water for tea, he told me the following story that happened with his father, Reb Yosef Doivber. My father," says Reb Chaim, "used to give a pilpul shiur twice a week to two great Talmidei Chachamim and Gaonim of the city Brisk, who were great masmidim. That means they studied Torah constantly. These two students were called Berel the Harb, which means the hunch, and Kalman the klutz. Why were they named so? Because Berel spent so much time studying Torah that he got a hunch on his back, so they called him Berel the Harb. And because Kalman would sit and study Torah for so many hours while sitting on his klutz, that's a large stump of wood, he made a dent in the klutz from sitting. And that's why they called him Kalman the Klutz. And it was for them that my father would teach a lesson twice a week. Now, it once happened in Brisk that a Yid took a job from the government to make clothing for them. But he didn't do his job properly, and they arrested him and threw him into jail. He was supposed to stay there until they would decide how to punish him. And there was a chance, chas v'shalom, that they will put him to death. Now, it was my father and a certain Jewish lawyer that were working very hard to save this man who was in trouble. One time, my father and the lawyer decided that they're going to meet together on a certain day and go to certain places where they think they'll be able to do things to help this Jew to be saved. On the set day, the lawyer came to my father's house to meet him, and he was told that my father is right now in the Beis Medrash. So he went to the Beis Medrash and found my father in the middle of giving a shiur of Gemara, and is involved in a heated discussion about the Gemara. And who was this with? Berel the Harb and Kalman the Klutz. Now the lawyer did not want to disturb my father, so he just sat down on the side and waited. After an hour, My father noticed the lawyer and told his students that he must interrupt the shiur because he has to go help a Jew who is in a very great danger. And so he left with the lawyer. On the way, the lawyer asked my father,
"Please explain me. Why are you working so hard? Why is it so important to study the Gemara with so much detail? And also, why do you have to teach the lesson altogether, especially to these two great scholars, Beryl the Harb and Kalman the Klutz? Aren't they themselves big Gaonim and Talmidei Chachamim?"
My father answered him, "You see, as long as I learn Torah this way, and I give them the shiur, then, at least in another shul, they are learning a page of Gemara. And yet in another shul, they're learning only Mishnayos, and so on. And then there is a Jew who does not learn the Torah so much, but at least he comes to shul 3 times a day to daven. Then there is a Jew who goes to shul only once a day in the morning. And then there is a Jew who goes to shul only on Shabbos. And yet another one who goes only on Yom Tov. And then there is the Jew who goes to shul only on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But just imagine," says my father, "if I would take one step down and would not give my shiur, then in the other shul they wouldn't even learn Gemara, and so on. And the other shul, they wouldn't learn the Mishnayos, and so on and so forth, until the Jew who usually went to shul on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur wouldn't go to shul even on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He would only fast and not go to shul." Yes, the same thing is with all of us. Just like Rabbi Yosef Doivber felt it necessary to work extra hard and put all of his kayach into his learning of Torah, and that would affect and help that all the other Yidden should do what they have to do, the same thing is with us. When we learn Torah diligently with all our kayach, and we do a little extra, a little more than we're used to, you know what that's going to do? That's going to help that all the other Yidden who are connected to us, they will start doing a little bit more too. That's why it's so important, Shetihiyu Amelim Batoira, that we should give ourselves over to the study of Torah with all our might, with all our strength. And then Hashem will bless us with all of the brachas that we need, both for our body and for our neshama. And the main bracha, to have the geula shlema through Mashiach Tzidkenu immediately. Amen. Now I want to tell you that even though in this parsha there are many, many klalois, many curses that are mentioned, if the Yidden will chas v'shalom not learn Torah and not keep the mitzvahs. But I want you to know, really, everything that comes from Hashem is only good. It's only that sometimes we don't notice the goodness of it right away. It comes out later. But really, everything is for good. Like the famous stories of Nochem Ish Gamzu, when someone emptied out his chest full of precious diamonds and jewels that he was bringing for the king and filled it up with sand. What did Nochem say? He said, "Gamzu l'taiva." It's surely for good. And you know what happened later when the king took the sand and used it in his wars? It helped him, it saved him, it made him win the war. The same thing is with Rabbi Akiva and the donkey and the rooster and the candle. You know what happened there too? Because of that, Rabbi Akiva was saved from the robbers. And the same thing is with many, many things, that even though in the beginning it looks to us like it's something which is no good, but really there is a hidden goodness in it. And when we have bitachin in Hashem, and we love Hashem, and accept everything with love, knowing that Hashem only does good, then you know what's going to happen? The goodness is going to shine forth. That's right. Whatever is covering up the goodness to make it look like bad, that covering is going to disappear, and the beautiful goodness is going to come and shine out, and everyone is going to say, wow, look how good this really is. This is like the story that the Gemara tells us, that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai once sent his son to get a bracha from two great Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yehuda. When his son came back, his father asked him, so what did they say? And his son told Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, I don't understand why they said those words to me. They said words that sounded like curses. I don't understand it. I'll tell you what they said. And he told his father everything they said. Then Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai explained his son that all of these curses were really brachas, were really blessings. But the only reason why they said it in those kind of words that made it sound like curses was only because they were such special blessings that they had to be hidden. They could not be revealed. But Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who knows the secrets, and he knows what's the deeper meaning of everything, he was able to translate it and explain it to his son to show him that even those words that seemed like curses are really great blessings. And the same thing is with the Parsha, where it talks about the curses that will chas v'shalom come to the Yidden. They're really not curses. They're really hidden blessings. True, the simple meaning is that they are curses, bad things that will chas v'shalom happen. But in a deeper meaning, they are really blessings, as we find in certain Sfarim that explain and translate many of the curses into brachas, into blessings. This reminds us yet of another story that happened with the Alter Rebbe, Reb Shneur Zalman, and his son, the Mittler Rebbe, Reb Doivber. The Alter Rebbe was the regular Torah reader of his shul. But it happened once that it was on the Shabbos of Parshas Ki Savai that the Alter Rebbe was not in shul. He was out of town. But his son, the Mittler Rebbe, Reb Doivber, who was still yet a little young boy, he wasn't bar mitzvah yet, he heard the Torah reading from another person. Now in Parshas Ki Savai, Moshe Rabbeinu repeats all of the curses that are mentioned in this Parsha B'chukosai. When the Mittler Rebbe heard the way this man was reading the curses, little Doivber had a lot of pain. It hurt him very, very much. It has caused him a heartache, which lasted for several weeks. In fact, when Yom Kippur was coming, his father, the Alter Rebbe, didn't even know for sure whether he can allow his son to fast, because his son was so weak from the pain that he had from weeks before when the Parsha was read by someone else. Now when they asked the Mittler Rebbe, don't you hear this Parsha every year? So why suddenly did you get such a heartache? So the little boy answered, when my Tati reads the Parsha, I don't hear any curses. That's right. The way the Alter Rebbe read the Parsha, and the way his son, little Doivber, heard it, he only heard brachas. He did not hear curses. He only heard the deeper meaning of the psukim, the deeper meaning of these curses, which are really hidden blessings. And very, very soon, when we dance into the happy days of Geula, we will all see how all of these things of the time of Golus are really going to turn into blessings, into brachas, for which we're going to thank Hashem and say, Oidcha Hashem ki anafta bi. Thank you, Hashem, for the time of Golus. What? Thank you for the time of Golus? Yes, when Mashiach is going to take us out of Golus, then we're going to realize that even the Golus was really something good that Hashem did for us. True, we want to get out of Golus immediately, and we don't care how good it might be, we want to go out of Golus now and go to the Geula. But since Hashem has given us the Golus, Hashem only does it for good. Hashem does it for our own good because Hashem wants to give us the best. But since we had enough of Golus, enough of all of that good and best, now we are ready for Geula, which is going to come immediately. Amen. Now towards the end of the Parsha, the Torah tells us that a Yid can donate a certain amount of money, how much he himself is worth it, or how much another person is worth it, and he gives away that amount of money to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, how do we know how much a person is worth? The Torah tells us that the value of all Jewish boys from 5 years old until 20 years old is 20 shekel coins. From 20 years old until 60 is 50 shekel coins. Why is it exactly this number? Hashem did not tell us. This is a decree, a gezeras hakasuv. This is what Hashem decided. So if a Yid says that he wants to give the value of his child to the Beis HaMikdash, then he will have to give 20 shekel coins. And Hashem will count it as if he had brought this child as a carbon. The Kayanim used to use this money to fix up anything that had to be repaired in the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Torah tells us about the mitzvah of Ma'aser Behema, that a Jewish farmer who owns cows, sheep, or goats, he must give every tenth newborn to Hashem. And this is called Ma'aser Behema. Now how did the farmer do this? How did he separate one of each ten? Well, once a year, the farmer would gather together all the newborn animals of that year. He would take them all together into a big stable. And this stable would have a door which was so small that only one animal at a time could leave. Then the farmer would let the animals out one by one, counting each one. 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. When it came to number 10, he would take a stick, dip it into red paint, and touch the animal with it, and call out, "This animal is Ma'aser." And after the farmer finished with all the animals, he would take all the animals that had red spots on them from the red paint, and he would bring them to Yerushalayim. Over there they would be shechted, and the Kayanim would burn the inner parts on the Mizbeach and give the meat to the owner who was allowed to eat it in Yerushalayim. And now that we come to the end of the Parsha and the end of the entire Chumash Vayikra, we all call out together, Chazak Chazak V'nis Chazek, and very soon we should be back in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Amen.